Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 12, the birth of Emperor Parikshit, verse number 4. Suta uvacha apipalad dharma rajaha pitrivad ranjayan prajaha nikspriha sarvakamebhyaha krishna padanu sevaya. Apipala dharma rajaha pitrivad ranjayan prajaha nikspriha sarvakamebhyaha krishna padanu sevaya. Apipala dharma rajaha pitrivad ranjayan prajaha nikspriha sarvakamebhyaha krishna padanu sevaya. Sutuvacha apipala dharma raja pitrivad ranjayan prajaha nikspriha sarvakamebhyah krishna padanu sevaya. Suta uvacha apipala dharma raja pitrivad ranjayan prajaha nikspriha sarvakamebhyah krishna padanu sevaya. Apipala dharma raja pitrivad ranjayan prajaha nispraha sarva kamebhyaha krishna pada anusevaya. Suta uvacha apipala dharma raja pitrayatanjayan prajaha nispraha sarva kamebhyaha krishna padanu sevaya. Suta uvacha apipala dharma rajaha pitrivad ranjayan prajaha nispraha sarva kamebhyaha krishna padanu sevaya. Suta uvacha apipala dharma rajaha pitrivad ranjayan prajaha nikspriha sarva kamebhya krishna padanu sevaya. Suta uvacha Sri Suta Goswami said, Apipalat administered prosperity. Dharma Rajaha, King Yudhishthira, Pitrivat, exactly like his father. Ranjayan, pleasing. Prajaha, all those who took birth. Nikspriha, without personal ambition. Sarva, all. Kamebhya, from sense gratification. Krishnapada, the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. Anusevaya, by dint of rendering continuous service. Translation. Sri Suta Goswami said, Emperor Yudhishthira administered generously to everyone during his reign. He was exactly like his father. He had no personal ambition and was freed from all sorts of sense gratification because of his continuous service unto the lotus feet of the Lord Sri Krishna. Please repeat. Sri Suta Goswami said, Emperor Yudhishthira administered generously to everyone during his reign. He was exactly like his father.
He had no personal ambition
and was freed from all sorts of sense gratification because of his continuous service unto the lotus feet of the Lord Sri Krishna. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As mentioned in our introduction, there is a need for the science of Krishna in human society for all the suffering humanity of the world, and we simply request the leading personalities of all nations to take to the science of Krishna for their own good, for the good of society, and for the good of all the people of the world. So it is confirmed herein by the example of Maharaj Yudhishthira, the personality of goodness. In India, the people hanker after Rama Raja because the personality of Godhead was the ideal king, and all other kings or emperors in India controlled the destiny of the world for the prosperity of every living being who took birth on the earth. Herein, the word prajaha is significant. The etymological import of the word is that which is born. On the earth, there are many species of life, from the aquatics up to the perfect human beings, and all are known as prajas. Lord Brahma, the creator of this particular universe, is known as the Prajapati because he is the grandfather of all who have taken birth. Thus, praja is used in a broader sense than it is now used. The king represents all living beings, the aquatics, plants, trees, reptiles, birds, animals, and men. Every one of them is a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Bhagavad Gita 14:4. And the king, being representative of the Supreme Lord, is duty-bound to give proper protection to every one of them. This is not the case with the presidents and dictators of this demoralized system of administration, where the lower animals are given no protection, while the higher animals are given so-called protection. But this is a great science which can be learned only by one who knows the science of Krishna. By knowing the science of Krishna, one can become the most perfect man in the world. And unless one has knowledge in this science, all qualifications and doctorate diplomas acquired by academic education are spoiled and useless. Maharaj Yudhishthira knew this science of Krishna very well, for it is stated here that by continuous cultivation of this science or by continuous devotional service to Lord Krishna, he acquired the qualification of administering the state. The father is sometimes seemingly cruel to the son, but that does not mean that the father has lost the qualification to be a father. A father is always a father because he has the good of the son at heart. The father wants every one of his sons to become a better man than himself. Therefore, a king like Maharaj Yudhishthira, who was the personality of goodness, wanted everyone under his administration, especially human beings who have better developed consciousness, to become devotees of Lord Krishna, so that everyone can become free from the trifles of material existence. His motto of administration was, "All good for the citizens." For as personified goodness, he knew perfectly well what is actually good for them. He conducted the administration on that principle and not on the rakshasi, demonic principle of sense gratification. As an ideal king, he had no personal ambition, and there was no place for sense gratification because all his senses at all times were engaged in the loving service of the Supreme Lord, which includes the partial service to the living beings who form the parts and parcels of the complete whole. Those who are busy rendering service to the parts and parcels, leaving aside the whole, only spoil time and energy, as one does when watering the leaves of a tree without watering the root. If water is poured on the root, the leaves are enlivened perfectly and automatically. But if water is poured on the leaves only, the whole energy is spoiled. Maharaj Yudhishthira, therefore, was constantly engaged in service of the Lord, and thus the parts and parcels of the Lord, the living beings under his careful administration, were perfectly attended with all comforts in this life and all progress in the next. That is the way of perfect management of state administration.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahakana Raghunatan Vitam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitanscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyabadi Paschatya Deshatarine.
If you turn to the second yellow tab in your book, we can recite together 8 verses glorifying Srila Prabhupada, inspired by a Sanskrit poem by Sriman Kushakrata Das. I guess the Sanskrit poem is Kushakrata, which is what we'll be reading, and then there's an English versification by Dravida.
Shri Shri Navadvipa Parapradipa Sandipyamana Satato Bhuviha Chetastamohanti hi asya yatnat tankirtayama pratupabhed Shri Bhakti Siddhanta prachoditak Shri Vyasadya koshan kushalang kripaluhu Sanmlecha vagdesha chayedadadyas tankirtayama prabhupada devam Achadyate yat paratarka drishya Govinda murtyujvala bhaskarena Advaita kadyota kulang jagatyang tankirtayamak prabhupada devam yasyaiva yatnena purana raja gangamala keshava keli hangsa satstotra ratna vatitita loke tankirtayamak prabhupada devam Shri Radhika Krishna padaravinde sahasra hritsu shatamandireshu Aropayadyo madhure prithivyang tankirtayamak prabhupada devam kaushalyadayasya sahasra shastra pratihanyatehi chandakaler mohachamurhatena tankirtayamak prabhupada devam nanala sadgaura sudha prakasha palakshitao sthapita eva yena Krishnanu chinta jana sanchas tankirtayamak prabhupada devam yo nityada jivati daivikishu nijasu shikshasu sungamami tirpam budhir nanda sutashtinama tankirtayamak prabhupada devam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Shri Varshabhanavi Devi Daitaya Kripabdhaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhave Namaha Madhur Yojvala Premadhyaya Shri Rupanuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambhara Sambhode Padambhujayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sachidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gauravir Bhava Bhume Stvang Nirdeshta Sajjana Priyaha Vaishnava Sarva Bhomak Shri Jagannathayate Namaha Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhakta Bhatarang Bhakta Kyang Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. Hey Krishna Kuruna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatang Suratau Pangur Mamamanda Matergati Matsarvasva Padam Bhojao Radha Madana Mohanao Divya Vrindaranya Kalpa Drumadhak Srimad Ratnagara Singhasanasthao Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devao Prashtali Bhiksebhya Manao Smarami Srimad Rasara Sarambhi Vangshivata Tatakstitaha Karshan Venu Swanaya Gopir Gopinatak Shriyestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindayai Tulsi Devyai Priyayai Keshavashyacha Vishnu Bhakti Prade Devi Satyavatyai Namo Namaha Shri Nishringha Jaya Nishringha Jaya Jaya Nishringha Prahadesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Matsamo Nasti Papatma Naparadhi Chakashchana Parihare Pilajame King Bruve Purushottama Yubati nang yata yuni yunang cha yubatao yata mano bhi ramate tadvan mano me ramatang twai bhumaus kalita padanam bhumire vavalambanam twai jata paradhanam twameva sharanang prabho govinda valabhe radhe prarthaye twamahang sada twadiyamiti janatu govindo mang twayasaha Radhe Vrindavani Tishe Karunamrita Vahini Kripaya Nijapadabja Dasyang Mayang Pradiyatam Vande Nanda Brajastrinang Padarenu Mabhikshna Saha Yashang Harikato Gitang Paunati Bhubanatrayam Nama Shreshtang Manumapi Sachiputra Matra Swarupam Shri Rupang Tasyagrajamuru Purimaturingoshtabhatim Radha Kundang Girivaram Mahoradhika Madhabasang Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurung Tang Natosmi Adatanas Trinang Dantayar Idang Yache Punak Punaha Srimad Rupa Padambhoja Rajohang Syam Bhabe Bhabe Hantaya Madrira Bala Haridasya Varyo Yadrama Krishna Charanas Parasha Pramodaha Manang Tanoti Sahago Ganayos Tayor Yat Paniya Suya Vasakandara Kandamalai Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advaita Kadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I bow down to the beautiful lotus feet of my spiritual master by whose causeless mercy I have obtained the supreme holy name, the divine mantra, the service of the son of Shachimata, the association of Srila Swarup Damodar Rupa Goswami and his older brother Sanatan Goswami, the supreme abode of Mathura, the blissful abode of Vrindavana, the divine Radha Kunda and Govardhan Hill, and the desire within my heart for the loving service of Sri Radhika and Madhava in Vrindavan, from Mangalacharanam of Sri Mukta Charitram by Raghunath Das Goswami. So, Hare Krishna. Today we have one of these wonderful Bhaktivedanta purports, and we can really see that Srila Prabhupada's Srimad Bhagavatam, as he says in the introduction, is really meant for saving humanity. For really saving the whole world situation, including the situation of the governments of the world, because only a pure devotee can properly administer the world in the proper way so that all of the praja, all of the living beings who've taken birth, including even the plants, animals, everything, birds, insects, and of course the human beings and the different grades of human beings all the way up to the perfected sages are all administered and treated, protected properly and treated accordingly, and given their due, what they're supposed to have, their quota, as we say, what is set aside for their quota. Isha vasyamidang sarvang yatkin cha jagat yang jagat
tena tyaktena bunjita ma griha kasya svidhanam. So the whole world and everything in it is owned and controlled by Lord Sri Krishna. And only one who knows this science of Krishna consciousness can properly treat all living beings with their due respect and honor, without being envious of anyone, without any personal ambition, without any sense gratification. So this is one of those great purports. There is a need for the science of Krishna and human society for all the suffering humanity of the world. And we simply request the leading personalities of all nations to take to the science of Krishna for their own good, for the good of society, and for the good of all the people of the world. This is from Srila Prabhupada's introduction, and he's quoting it again here because the sages have asked Suta Goswami to describe personality of Emperor Parikshit and his birth and so forth, and Suta Goswami is now beginning to answer them, and he's beginning by answering by talking about Suta Goswami's grandfather's generation. Yudhishthir was like a granduncle, was the predecessor monarch from whom Parikshit Maharaj inherited the crown. And so he's beginning the story there. And Srila Prabhupada has given this Srimad Bhagavatam as a great spiritual presentation, a cultural presentation for the re-spiritualization of society, as he says in the preface. And so it's important that the leading personalities of all nations take up this science of devotional service, so that they can be non-envious and they can properly lead the people without exploiting them and actually properly protecting them. So Srila Prabhupada wanted to create a class of Brahmins. He wanted to create some sannyasi preachers. But it wasn't just for a limited small section of society, but he actually wanted everyone in society to become a devotee of Krishna. And particularly it's important also that the leading statesmen, politicians, warriors, you know, political leaders of the world also become devotees of Krishna. When Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, Krishna didn't want Arjuna to retire and become a sannyasi. He wanted him to take up the duties of the royal order, himself and his brothers. So he has different roles for different people, and he had a role for Maharaj Yudhishthir to actually reign as an ideal king. Only a pure devotee can do that. So we used to think, in my immature days in early ISKCON, that somehow, you know, as the devotees in ISKCON, we would take over and become the rulers of the world. But actually, I quickly came to learn that no, we were supposed to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books and get all the leaders of the world to also join and become devotees. And those who had the different qualities, the fame, the wealth, the intelligence, the leadership shakti, all the different qualities of different talented people, that they would accept Srila Prabhupada as their leader, as their spiritual master. The Srila Prabhupada's books as the great law books for humanity that teach the science of devotional service, and then everyone in every walk of life, the scientists, the politicians, the big industrialists, and all of the skilled laborers, entertainers, cultural leaders of all kinds could become devotees of Krishna and great cognoscente, understanders, you know, connoisseurs of Srila Prabhupada's books. So, Srila Prabhupada's talking about how people in India hanker after Rama Rajya. In the 1940s, Srila Prabhupada was, actually in the 1920s and in the teens, Srila Prabhupada was already participating in the Quit India movement that Mahatma Gandhi had started. The idea to kick the British out to create a unified nation of India. And And but Srila Prabhupada then met his spiritual master. When he first met his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta, he was dressed in homespun because he was a follower of the Gandhian movement. In fact, he had rejected his diploma. He went to a fine English college in Calcutta, Scottish Church's College, very respected college, and he got a diploma there, which would have, or he would have gotten a diploma. He graduated there, and one of the top in his class, and he could have gotten a diploma, which would have led him to a nice career in the British administration. The times being what they were, he wasn't interested in a career in the British administration, and he rejected the diploma. And this was a courageous and kind of a bold thing to do, because what would his economic prospects be without his diploma? But when he met Bhaktisiddhanta, his question to him, as soon as he saw Bhaktisiddhanta speaking, he understood, you know, here is someone who can spread Lord Chaitanya's message all over the world. Accepted him that this is the, you know, someone who's qualified to actually spread the message of Krishna, the message of Lord Chaitanya. But he asked a question, as is appropriate when you should ask your question to the spiritual master. So he said, who will hear our Lord Chaitanya's message while we're still a dependent country? Shouldn't we first gain our national independence? Then we can preach to the world about Krishna consciousness. And Bhaktisiddhanta defeated that notion and convinced him that no, Krishna consciousness doesn't have to wait for any material circumstance. We don't have to say, oh, when the government changes, okay, now the Republicans have taken the Congress, but they have to take the presidency, then we can preach Krishna consciousness. No, there's no such change in government is necessary to preach Krishna consciousness. Although we can understand that the highest benefit of the world will come when the government becomes Krishna conscious. But Srila Prabhupada was then writing in Back to Godhead, and he was writing articles about how, you know, Indian independence should come, but we shouldn't think that it's enough to have an independent country, you know, governed with self-governance, governed by Indians, and not by some foreign imperial power. We actually have to have Krishna-conscious government. That is, as he's explaining here, watering the root of the tree satisfies all the leaves. So that has to be understood also properly, that service to Krishna automatically serves all living beings. But it doesn't mean that we can neglect all living beings and consider ourselves servants of Krishna either. There's two sides to the coin. We can't think that we're going to serve all living beings without serving Krishna and think that we'll be able to bestow any benefit to them, because the ultimate benefit can only be bestowed by pure devotional service, and only a pure devotee can be free from envy and able to properly treat all living beings according to their highest good. At the same time, we can't think that we can become a pure devotee and nevertheless neglect and mistreat and exploit living beings. Maharaj Yudhishthira knew, because he was a pure devotee and perfectly worshipped Krishna, constantly worshipped Krishna, had no personal ambition, no sense gratification, he was able to actually administer the kingdom with proper respect for all the praja, including all the cows, all the animals, all the living beings. It's kind of appropriate that we're reading this verse about how this proper administration is going on Govardhan Puja, because this was Krishna's program also, that we should worship the Brahmins, the cows, and the land, and do our duties. Krishna was actually, in order to really convince everyone to only worship him, right? Not any demigod, only worship that which is completely supreme. But in order to convince the cowherd men to stop the Indra Puja and to worship Govardhan Hill, he started speaking this atheistic philosophy of karma, mimamsa, saying, well, if you worship the demigods or not, you still have to perform your duties to get any result. And if you worship the demigods or not, if you perform your duties, you'll get the result. So don't worship them. Don't bother worshiping them. So this is atheism. He was actually speaking this. This is not his real philosophy. philosophy, but he was this cute little boy, Krishna, was convincing all of the cowherd men by his clever logic and words and everything. They couldn't refuse. If he insisted, they couldn't refuse him because he had charmed everyone's hearts. But what he was teaching was that this land of Vrindavan and the cows were the source of their wealth, their agricultural activity. If everything was done properly in Krishna consciousness, then everyone would properly be sustained in peace and prosperity, and we wouldn't have to focus on anything less than Krishna, any of the demigods who are his parts and parcels and are his devotees. So we discussed the word praja, that it's broader than just all the human citizens, and it actually means every living being, and it's actually possible for in modern politics, you think you can't please all the people all the time. What was Abraham Lincoln? You can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. But right, and you can fool some of the people all the time, all the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. But in general, politicians think you can't really please everyone. You know, this is the idea of the Kripana. The householder thinks, I have to protect my own family. It's a zero-sum game. If my family has to get more and more, otherwise someone else's family will get some. So it's a competition. There's a struggle between different classes, right? That all the, you know, in Marxism, there's this idea that all the classes have their own interests, and some of them are irreconcilable interests. And so the classes have to be in conflict until such time as some pure communist classless society can take place. But actually the classes, there are classes in society. There are always going to be different people with different kinds of talents and different kinds of, you know, not everybody's going to be able to be a gymnast or an opera singer, and not everybody's going to be able to be a scientist or a pundit. Or a administrative leader. But the classes can actually, in Krishna consciousness, the classes can actually, when people are Krishna conscious, the classes can live in harmony without this sense of competition and selfishness, that it can't be just, you can protect and favor one class of people, but not another class of people. And when someone, you know, like in Iraq, the colonial imperial powers created a country out of different, very ethnically unique, separate parts of the Turkish Empire. And so they had Shiites in one part, and they had Kurds in another part, and they had Sunni Arabs in another part. And then they, you know, British administrators like to keep people weak by giving them borders of the country where they're guaranteed to have difficulty getting along. So then, you know, this Ba'athist party, you know, rose to power and favored one group of, you know, their own people, the people from Tikrit and the Arab Sunnis, you know, were favored even though they're a minority of the population because their leader came from their group. And that's kind of natural if the leader is not Krishna conscious. He's going to favor his own countrymen, his own culture, his own ethnic group, his people from his own religion and religious, someone gets power, they favor their own, their friends. And that leaves out the enemies. But the Krishna conscious king can actually give proper protection to everyone from every group and from every walk of life. Also, we don't just have four different main occupations in life, but we also go through stages in our own life, as from childhood to old age, we go through different stages of life when our psychology changes and our needs change and what we're supposed to be doing in our life and how, you know, change. So in every walk of life, the Krishna conscious administrator can protect everyone and give all the humans the proper duties according to their actual talents and natures. Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that repression doesn't accomplish anything. We have to work according to our nature with regulation, with not giving way to attraction and repulsion from sense objects, but performing our duty and becoming yogis in Krishna consciousness, doing everything for the pleasure of Krishna. This is the way the society works also. Atak pumbhir dvija shreshtak varnashrama vibhagasaha svanushtitasya dharmasya sangsidhir haritoshanam. The whole arrangement of four varnas and four ashramas and everything, and everyone doing their duties correctly, is so that as a unified, harmonious, organic society, social whole, then Krishna is pleased. Haritoshanam. That's the goal of society. It has a goal. It's for pleasing Krishna. Modern liberal philosophy is, we can't say what the ultimate good is. Let each rational unit decide for themselves what their ultimate good is, and many different rational beings choosing from their own tastes and everything will have a society where their own rights are protected and so forth. But that may be a necessary compromise when people can't agree about the ultimate good and they're fighting about everything. So it's kind of, you know, this kind of liberalism or democracy is a kind of it's a reaction to a bad situation. It's a negative situation, and they admit that. You know, like Churchill said, you know, democracy is the worst form of government except every other form of government, because you know, as far as he could see, any form of giving too much power to some individual would lead to a tyranny where people would be exploited and their own friends would be protected and their enemies would suffer. And in Kali Yuga, that's kind of the nature of what we see going on. But the Krishna conscious government of Maharaj Yudhishthir was a government that could actually see clearly what is the ultimate good of all people. And the ultimate good of all people comes when all people are engaged in Krishna's service. And we don't have to be, it doesn't have to be a secular government. It shouldn't be an idea of pushing one religion over another religion. No, this is the essence of all religion. You believe in God, and you have to please God. You have to restrain yourself, you know, not try to act like you're God, but restrain your own senses and follow the laws of God. But work, society has to work towards the pleasure of God. So, this is the great science which can be learned only by one who knows the science of Krishna. It's not an academic, dry academic subject matter that one can study the techniques of administration and so forth, and that's enough. One has to change inside. One's heart has to change by chanting Hare Krishna and becoming purified. Cheto Darpanam Arjanam. One actually changes one's character. One actually changes one's mood. Once again, from being a kripana or a miserly person that cares only for their own benefit and that of their immediate family, relatives, or social group, to a brahmana who's one who's concerned, who sees the spiritual oneness of all beings, and is concerned for the welfare of all beings, and knows how to do things properly. A father wants every one of his sons to become a better man than himself. Similarly, a bona fide spiritual master wants all of his disciples to become bona fide, to become qualified later to become greater spiritual masters. This is the mood of a pure devotee, is that he's not competing with others, but is actually trying to bestow the ultimate benediction on others. And so that's his mood. And therefore, a king like Maharaj Yudhishthir, who is the personality of goodness, wanted everyone under his administration, especially human beings, who have better developed consciousness to become devotees of Lord Krishna, so that everyone can become free from the trifles of material existence. Not just the trifles of material existence, but the strife of material existence, the terrible troubles of material existence. So, all good for all the citizens was his motto. And this is only possible in Krishna consciousness, when someone has no personal ambition. So, let's have, if there's any discussion, yes, Prabhu, Ramananda Sakka, then Bhrigupati.
Prabhuji, regarding the comment of Prabhupada when he first met his spiritual master, he said that who would listen to his message when the country is still under the rule of British. So after that, actually when he started preaching, the British rule was over. I mean India got independence and then actual preaching started. But had he started his preaching while India is still under the British rule, I have a feeling that the response would have been different, because you are being ruled over by a different country and you don't have independence, and how would people treat in general?
He did start. Sometimes he said, I was learning how to do it. But I mean, he really was. It wasn't that he waited until 1947 and then started preaching. It was, that Bhaktisiddhanta had a mission, and Prabhupada was supporting that mission and going and raising funds for supporting the mission. He was in household life. He hadn't yet taken sannyas, which he did after Indian independence. But he was publishing Bhaktigatit magazine before independence, and he was warning people, don't get intoxicated by this idea that independence is the goal. You have to be Krishna conscious. That's the goal. Gandhiji, became father of his country. He had many good qualities. He was very self-controlled. But Bhagavad Gita says that one should accept a bona fide spiritual master. Gandhi never accepted any spiritual master. He was studying Bhagavad Gita on his own, basically. And his commentary on Bhagavad Gita is not from the point of view of pure devotional service. So he became father of his country and his great man. But Prabhupada became spiritual master of the universe because he was a pure devotee and he was following his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Whether we can say, the material, like some people say, Prabhupada came to the United States just at the right time when the hippies were ready to reject things and stuff like that. You could say like that, but you could probably also see that maybe Krishna made this arrangement because his pure devotee was preaching this way. And yes, it's true that as India becomes, strong, India and China have the most people in the world each, and as they become more economically powerful and technologically powerful and respected as among the nations of the world as highly civilized and having an advanced culture and things like that, then people will take that up. But is it because India is independent that people are respecting India's culture, or is it because people who understand the heart of Indian Vaishnava culture are able to propagate that understanding throughout the world? And then that's how people will actually respect the Krishna culture of India. And otherwise, if they respect something about mundane about the culture of India, they like Bollywood dancing or something like that, then what's the value of it anyway, really? What's the value of that, if it's not connected to Krishna? Ratertang yapratieta napratieta chatmani. If you think there's something valuable about being Indian other than the fact that it's the land of Krishna, then you're actually in Maya. Yes, Bhrigupati.
Chabra, thank you. I like your class, and in general, I like the way you present the philosophy. I've heard you speak a few times. I'm impressed. So I feel like you're the right person to ask this question to.
Yes.
I think I'll be able to get something which will enable me to understand this in the proper perspective. recently I'm reading Hari Sari Transcendental Diary, and I love it. But one of the things that discourages me when I'm reading that, and other things that you know you come across in Prabhupada's books, is so often we see that so many disciples who had close association with Prabhupada, they were in positions of responsibility, and they've had difficulties, major difficulties. Matter of fact, it's like seems like it's a very minority that didn't. I mean, it's kind of probably, I wouldn't put a figure on it, but I mean, the majority have had serious difficulties. And how do you understand that? I mean, how do we, it's kind of like, sometimes when I read that, I just, it's like a little almost discouraging, you know, it's one name after another, this one, that one, this one, and, you know, like six names, five, four, five are people who are no longer in ISKCON or falling down or this or that. And, you know, it's sometimes it's, I mean, you keep going, I keep going, but it's not something that helps me be more enthusiastic. It's something that I have.
Jai Shri Radha Madan Mohan.
Yeah, it's not something that helps me feel naturally more enthusiastic. It has the opposite effect. It's something I have to just kind of go, okay, and muster up a little bit more determination to kind of, you know, overcome like that. And I'm just wondering, maybe I'm, you know, not seeing this in the proper perspective, or can you help me with this one?
Well, try. Sometimes when Srila Prabhupada was, when he was preaching, he would always like put the best face on things. You know, sometimes when Atmatattvadas told me that he was in a interview, newspaper interview from some Patrika, something, some big Bombay newspaper, something was interviewing Prabhupada, and he was telling the reporter, you know, in Mayapur we're feeding so many people every day, and the reporter said, but I was just in Mayapur. There were only 10 devotees there. And Prabhupada said, no, that is my intention. You know, I'll be feeding all those people. But Prabhupada was, not to say he was misleading, but he saw the bigger picture of, you know, that the inevitability of Krishna consciousness. And he was always seeing the positive side. But when someone would say, well, how come you don't have so many followers or something like that? He would say, you know, when you're selling diamonds, you don't get that many customers. It's you have something very valuable. Not everybody can actually has the quality to purchase it. It's true. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, you know, manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye. You know, out of thousands of men, only one may even be interested in Krishna consciousness. And even those who are interested and even those who have achieved some kind of perfection, there's still only out of thousands of those, only one will actually know Krishna. So pure devotional service, it was very, very rare, and Srila Prabhupada would sometimes say, I'll consider myself successful. The point he was making was he wasn't interested in a lot of cheap followers. He was interested in actually creating pure devotees. But he would say, I'll consider myself successful if even one of my disciples becomes a pure devotee. But he was optimistic because it wasn't that he wanted to discourage us. I guess the answer to your question is the way to not be discouraged is to realize that there's nothing, when you really realize that there's nothing worthwhile to be other than a pure devotee of Krishna, then the fact that it's so hard to be a pure devotee of Krishna, to become a pure devotee of Krishna, won't deter you because you've got nowhere else to go. It's like the Goswamis approached Lord Chaitanya. They said, we're like dwarfs who are trying to catch the moon. But yet they were not dissuaded in their attempt because they were absolutely convinced. Of course, they weren't dwarfs; they were eternally liberated souls. But they were saying that this they were showing for us. This should be the mood of a devotee that I'm trying to do something that's impossible, really, to get out of the clutches of material nature, to get out of the entanglement with our family, with our country, with our different conceptions of ourselves. With our, you know, we're so conditioned to think I am this body. This is me. You know, I am, and these are my things and stuff. To really become completely a lover of Krishna is very, very rare. And yet, on the one hand, the process is very powerful. So there's hope because of that. But on the other hand, we have to think, you know, what else is there to do? As they used to say in the old, remember the old Sankirtan newsletters? Ramaswar would send out these newsletters that would enliven everyone, and they would talk about different things that were going on in book distribution. And they always ended, Sankirtan Jagya Ki Jai. What else is there to do? And I was writing this the other day in some blog we were talking, and I had a roommate when I was in law school from Spain. His name was Joaquin. He was from Catalonia part of Spain near Barcelona. And he was studying in the MBA program in University of Michigan. And his idea was that I'm going to get my MBA and I'm going to get involved with some contacts I know in Spain and get involved in, you know, high finance and buying and selling companies and, you know, corporate takeovers and all, and I'll become a billionaire. But if I don't succeed in that, then I want to become a communist revolutionary in South America like Che Guevara. So, like two completely different, you know, I want to attack the billionaires, you know, whatever. So, some of us, we become devotees, but we think, you know, well, if I can't be successful as a devotee, then, you know, maybe I'll be a movie star or something else. But Kunti Devi prays, you know, that Krishna can't be approached by people who are distracted by these things. Like Yudhishthira Maharaj could be a big king and still be a devotee of Krishna because he had no interest in anything but Krishna's service. But normally, human beings are intoxicated by high birth in an aristocratic family, Janmaishwarya Shruti Shribir, wealth, education, and personal physical beauty, and they become intoxicated and mad after those things, and they can't approach Krishna feelingly. They can't actually properly call out his name. So we should be a little discouraged that, you know, Krishna consciousness is not cheap, but we should also be encouraged that Srila Prabhupada is very merciful. Krishna is very merciful. He wants us to become pure devotees. He's given the holy name. He's come as Lord Chaitanya. He's the most munificent avatar. You know, Krishna told Arjuna, first you surrender to me and then you can attain me. But Lord Chaitanya came and he gave Krishna consciousness, gave the holy name to people without considering who was fit or who wasn't fit. So, you know, we are living in exciting times when people can be... And, you know, those people who are close to Srila Prabhupada, even though they had difficulties, you have to also have the vision that they did... They were able to do service for Srila Prabhupada and help. They were able to be instrumental in helping Srila Prabhupada grow this movement and print his books, even if they had come from, you know, backgrounds, family backgrounds and things, Mlecha backgrounds, where habitually they would have, you know, drug habits or, you know, different kind. If their actual karma was to be, you know, some really horrible, frightening, all bad thing. It was like, you know, Jagai and Madhai were these like demons, but by Lord Nityananda's mercy, they became devotees. And Srila Prabhupada showed that there were all these people who belonged to a culture that was very, hippie culture, nothing is lower and more animal-like than that, because philosophically, the idea is that all the ideas of civilization and self-control and all the morals and everything are just, you know, received from tradition, superstition. You know, all religion, everything is just some kind of hang-ups, you know, superstition from some past. And we're going to forget about everything in the past and just do whatever we want, you know. If it feels good, do it and find what, you know. And it was into that milieu, which had the one good quality that there was so much mode of ignorance that the people were willing to be renounced. They didn't have any family to worry about. They didn't really want to, you know, get a job and become a millionaire or become a, you know, or build a business or anything like that. They just were content to sit on the street and smoke hash and contemplate their navel. And then Srila Prabhupada gave them something to really contemplate. But so it's not surprising that those of us from that background might not be able to become brahmanas. You know, Prabhupada gave us the opportunity, gave us the education, gave us a great, and we were able to achieve a lot more than you would expect us to be able to achieve. And if we chanted Hare Krishna even once sincerely, what a great benefit that is in life. Like Kim Pramatasya Bahubhi Parokshaya Hayanar, you know, what use is a long life? Better one moment of full consciousness, you know, and that gives you a start to seek your highest benefit. And Krishna says, Sualpamapyasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahatobayat, that even a little bit of advancement in the path of, you know, bhakti yoga will save one from the most dangerous type of fear of becoming an animal again. Because anything that you do that's spiritual, that's eternal. So go for it. Prabhupada encouraged people, go for it. Try to become pure devotees. Try to become perfect. And maybe he didn't tell them, you know, you really have no chance. You know, you've got none of the qualities, none of the qualifications. He overlooked all that and saw some spark in them that, hey, even you could, yeah, there's something possible here. And he fanned that spark. And so, you know, it shouldn't surprise us that, in fact, there was the one story, it's in the Lilamrita, where some former sannyasi who's fallen down, he comes to visit the temple somewhere in California, you know, drives up to the Laguna Beach Temple or whatever on his motorcycle. He's got a big beard and long hair and wearing a leather jacket and whatever. And Srila Prabhupada says, you know, please come back. You know, you can come back to your service. You're a sannyasi, you're a leader, you'll be honored and everything. And he said, why should I come back? I play my saxophone, I smoke pot every day, I have girlfriends, I have everything I want. And he got off of his motorcycle and he drove away. And one lady disciple, said, Srila Prabhupada, it's amazing that, you know, such a big devotee could be so much in illusion now. And it's amazing that such a big sannyasi could fall down and leave the Hare Krishna movement. And Prabhupada says, no, what is amazing is that any of you are staying. And it's really a fact. So it's when you're selling diamonds, you can't expect many customers. And so when someone would say, well, how come you only have 5,000 disciples? You know, Srila Prabhupada would point that out. That what do you expect? You know, I'm asking people to give up everything and surrender to Krishna. But on the other hand, even if they make a little advancement, that's eternally to their credit. And as Krishna explains the fate of the unsuccessful yogi in the sixth chapter, they're going to come back and be devotees again in their next life too. And even in this life, they're coming back again. Many of them are coming back again, actually. And maybe we haven't administered everything as well. If we had Maharaj Yudhishthir after Prabhupada departed, you know, we didn't have someone to tell us exactly how to do everything. We had to learn how to find from our own intelligence and from within. Not everybody had the same opinion about how to do things, and so that could be discouraging to some people too. But I think I see a lot of older devotees sort of becoming more harmonious again, coming back, being more interested in participating, and I see a lot of you newer, younger devotees coming in and giving such new life and hope. And you're also coming from Hindu families with good samskaras, you know, better culture. So the hope of the world is for you, that you should convince everyone to read these books, and to all the leaders of the world should become Krishna conscious like Maharaj Yudhishthir, and then that will be for the good of all people of the world. And Prabhupada's Srimad Bhagavatam will fulfill its destiny of actually saving the planet. Because, you know, Gandhi was a great great person, great leader and everything, but he couldn't produce this Srimad Bhagavatam like Prabhupada did. So Prabhupada was also great, even greater in a greater way. Okay? So now we'll chant the Damodar Ashtakam.